Bibles, please.
Turn to Matthew chapter 1.
Matthew chapter 1. And we are going to read verses 18 through 25 together. You're going to think I've lost my brain. I am not preaching Christmas in July or August here, all right? But we are going to use Matthew chapter 1 as a springboard for a truth today that I really am excited about you getting. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Let's read this passage responsively. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, use today's sermon to change us, to help us. Lord, use it to make a difference, not just in our lives, but in the lives of the people with whom we talk, with whom we work with whom we live, with whom we minister to, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to help you today, and I mean this. If you'll please listen, especially to the beginning, I think I can help you, but the truth will be one that will revolutionize your entire life. I like to practice what I preach. But may I say this, have you ever tried to live everything in that book? I mean this with all of my heart. Today is one of those sermons. I'm preaching to me. Okay? I am as guilty of this as everybody else in this room is, and maybe more so than some of the people in this room. May I say something, though? Do not hold it against me that I don't practice everything perfectly as God says. No nail prints. I'm a sinner, too. I don't know where this thing came about or when it came about. Well, you shouldn't preach it if you don't practice it. Well, that's not in the Bible, because there is only one man worthy to preach that, and that is Jesus Christ. It is not my job to live everything just because I'm the preacher. And I am as much of a sinner as you are. I'm sorry to say that. If you're disappointed, get over it. It is what it is. I am just the messenger. It's just like soul winning. It's not who the soul winner is, it's the message we take. Amen. The word of God is the issue, not the messenger. Amen. Did you know that there are people that deliver the mail that don't pay all their bills to? So should he not deliver your bills then? See, the job is to deliver the message. My job is to deliver the message. Now, I'm trying. I'll promise you, I work at it. I don't always get there, but I'm working at it. Now, let's pivot to the thought of the day. I am a bit of an idealist. Let's bring it down into modern terminology. Some of you would say, I'm type A. Now, I don't see any of that in Scripture, just so you know. That's man-made psychology. That's not... And by the way, putting people into labels like that is very unscriptural. I like to plan things. I like to figure how things are going to work before it happens. I was taught, don't fly by the seat of your britches, because eventually something shows.
That's right.
Now, if you'd have known me 35 years ago, I would have preached this sermon totally different. I was one of those people that says, I wait till the last minute because that's when I do my best work. Because I have to get it done, which meant I didn't have the character to do it right when it was supposed to be done. Don't worry, the altar's big enough to catch all the blood, all right? I like, though, to know a little bit of what's coming, how things are going to happen, and how things are planned. For instance, every church service we have at Grace Baptist Church, I have an order service. I know exactly what songs are going to be sung. I know what the order is. I can do it without looking at the card. But I still have it. The pianist gets one. Song leader gets one. If we have a visiting speaker, they get one. Matter of fact, I usually have it in their room before they get here so they know what's coming, and I have an extra in my Bible in case they forgot theirs. Say why? Because I like planning how things are going to happen. I've been around this crazy bunch to know some things don't go as planned, though. Did you know that, and by the way, I've lived enough life to know this, not everything works out exactly as you plan.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, let me say it this way. I've lived long enough to know very little of what you planned works out the way you planned it. You see, I've learned how to roll with the punches, so to speak. In life, not everything works out just as you plan. An idealist says, this is where I'm at, that's where I'm going, this is how I'm going to get there, and nothing's going to change that. Wrong answer. It's not going to happen that way. If you would have talked to me 40 years ago, I'd have told you I was going to Mexico as a missionary. 38 years ago, I surrendered to preach. I was headed to Mexico to be a missionary. That was my goal. God had other plans. I've been to Mexico 7 or 8 times. I've preached in Mexico. I've seen thousands of people saved there. I've helped structurally build a church down there, as well as help fill up churches down there. I could go on and on and on. I love missions work. But God said, if you'll do what I tell you, that'll change. I've won people to Christ here in the States who are now missionaries all over the world. I've trained missionaries who are all over the world preaching today. Because I did what God said, not what I planned. Now, I call this prepared or pre-planned. Prepared or pre-planned. Some of the greatest football plays in history happened and they didn't go as planned. You ladies won't enjoy this part of it, most of you. I enjoy watching football. Well, when men used to play football and not how they're playing it now. I remember the old Steel Curtain, Mean Joe Green. I remember Lyle Alzado for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, some rough neck, in your face, claw your eyeballs out and beat you to death kind of guys. Some of the most well-known plays came because it was a broken play. Roger Staubach used to be the quarterback for Dallas Cowboys. He was known as Roger the Dodger. Say, what was that? Because somebody would hike him the ball, and he's getting ready, and front line didn't hold. So he had to scramble. Fran Tarkington was known for scrambling. Some of the good quarterbacks of our day are known for scrambling or being able to think on their feet. Peyton Manning was very good at it in his day. and others. Say, where does that come from? It comes from, they didn't draw that play up on the chalkboard and say, this is how it's going to work. They were rolling with, literally, the punches that were coming at that moment. Raising kids, it doesn't work the way you first thought. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The ideal of raising a child that would be turning out a certain way, and as they grew up, it would happen in just such a way. That gets kicked out of you real fast. You know, and the more of them you raise, the more of them you realize, you don't even think about that bugger, let's just survive today. If it's a boy, beat them every day, whether they need it or not, because they're going to need it. And if they didn't need it today, they'll need to tomorrow. You know, rearing children, it doesn't turn out quite like you thought. In my profession, and I've been a part of many of these, weddings don't always turn out just as you planned. How many of you, something didn't go quite as you planned at your wedding? Raise your hand. I'm not talking about who you married. I'm talking about the actual service, all right? All right? Most everybody had something happen in their wedding. Maybe it wasn't like this for you, but when I got married, my wife's pastor, God bless him, he was a prayer warrior. That man could pray for 7 minutes at a wedding several times. The whole time he's praying, I'm thinking, would you hurry up? I want to kiss her and get out of here. But no, we got to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Thinking, man, this man ought to not always pray. Amen. There's something about to happen, and I was getting ready to get out of there, and would you hurry up? And I was trying not to be disrespectful. Maybe it was that it was 102 degrees when we got married, and the air conditioning went out in the reception hall. God is so good. God gave my wife a wedding dress, but it was long sleeve. And it's 102 degrees outside. We were melting. By the time, and I promise you, we paid like $100 for our cake, and it was one of these cakes that had a fountain in it, and there was about 15 tiers to it everywhere all the way. I mean, it took up an 8-foot table plus. And by the time they came and got us and said, will you please hurry and get to the reception? The cake is falling. And literally, they snapped a couple pictures, and people were catching the cake as it was falling. It was melting. It was great. It really was. It was hilarious. Maybe it is that I got my last speeding ticket on the way to my wedding. Things don't always work out quite like you expect. I've been to weddings where people in the wedding party passed out on the platform. How many of you have ever seen that happen before? I've seen it happen a lot. I've even seen the groom go, psh, boom. I've seen the bride have to get caught because she... and there's one simple thing, as you do weddings, you teach people what not to do. If you ever have to stand for any length of time, don't lock your knees. If you let your knees go, the blood will flow. If you lock your knees, you're tightening all the blood flow, and that's what causes people to go, boom, real fast. It gets exciting. I've seen some silly things happen at weddings. Ring bearers and flower girls are generally the center of attention. You never quite know what they're going to do. My niece was one of, she was like the junior bride or whatever, flower girl. After three prayers that were 5 to 10 minutes long each and everything else, you know, a 3 or 4 year old doesn't have an attention span much bigger than a gnat. So she had one of these big hooped dresses on, and she's standing up there doing like this, and she looks like a little bell going ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. I mean, it was great. I say, oh, it didn't go quite as planned. That's what makes it fun. Those are things you look back on and say, that's great. The only thing I was worried about is I made sure I checked the bottom of my shoes because I had people telling me they were going to write things on the bottom of my shoes so that people saw them when we were kneeling, and I ain't doing that. My wife's aunts, they thought they were so smart. Well, Craig, which car are you using? Well, I'm not using mine. It's staying at my in-law's house till we leave the church. And I said, I'm driving my dad's vehicle away from the service. What they didn't know even is I had a horse and carriage to surprise my new bride with. And we were going to go from the church to her house in that horse and carriage in 102-degree weather. but they said, well, how about you let us move your car? Well, we might need to move your car. I said, you're not touching my car. It's locked from front to back to top to bottom. Don't break my windows, and you're not touching my keys. I knew exactly what they were going to do. They never did get my keys. They tried every angle they could. They did not get my keys, and they did not trash my car. Maybe things didn't quite go like you exactly planned. Can I tell you something? A wedding is not about the service. A wedding is about two people getting married. We spend way too much on a wedding day and not enough on a marriage. Average wedding in America costs $28,000 today. May I say something? That's about as wicked as the devil. No wonder half of them end up in divorce. It ought to, yeah. Spend about $3,000 and put the other $25,000 down on a house.
There you go.
Now, think about Mary and Joseph. So little of what they planned as a young couple really happened. Mary and Joseph were like any other young couple. Okay? You had two young people in love, you know, cow eyes and everything. And they were in love with one another. Now, wait a minute. They were espoused. They were engaged, so to speak. They were in love. They got engaged. And they were planning a wedding. That was starting to go as planned. But when you start planning weddings, you start planning for the future and other things. I can imagine they had conversations about where they would live, what type of house they would have, what type of camel they would drive. I mean, a car they would drive. I can imagine they talked about maybe children someday, and et cetera, et cetera. Not too long into this engagement, God comes to Mary through an angel and says, you're going to be pregnant with the Christ child, and you're not going to know a man. The Holy Ghost will conceive in you the Son of God, and you'll call his name Jesus. And then, boom, she was pregnant. Imagine her having to tell Joseph she was pregnant, but she hadn't been with a man physically. Right. Matter of fact, God had to come to Joseph that next, after he was told, and say, hey, look, what she's telling you is true. I can tell you it's true. Now, that, just so you know, that did not go how they planned. In Hebrew culture, especially, and there was a day in America where it was a shame for somebody to have a baby before they got married. They weren't supposed to be shacking up together, having a physical relationship. Now, here is a pure young couple, and she's pregnant. By the way, he could have refused to marry her and made a public spectacle of her, but he said, no, this is from God. We're going to change plans. It didn't go as they planned. Then, they didn't plan on having the baby in Bethlehem. They had to leave their hometown to go pay taxes and take part in a census in Bethlehem, and she was 9 months pregnant. Have you all ever traveled with a 9-month pregnant lady? That's not fun. You stop every potty just so they can go, amen? And every green or blue house on the road and along the way. It was not part of the plan to go to Bethlehem. I can imagine him or her saying, but Joseph, I don't want to go. You don't have a choice. We have to go. I'll find us a hotel when we get there. And when they got there, guess what? That didn't go as they planned. There wasn't a hotel room one. There wasn't a rooming house room one. The only thing they found was a barn out behind a hotel, so to speak, or a motel. And he said, this is the best I can do for you. Now, she probably felt like one of those animals being 9 months pregnant. But that was not the place to put her. It didn't go quite as he planned. And then sometime in the night, when she said, Joseph, it's time. I know that didn't go as he planned. He didn't plan on hatching that puppy that night. But it came. It wasn't their plan to have stinky old shepherds show up to view their baby. That didn't go quite like they planned. It didn't quite go like they planned when the government leaders found out that Jesus was born and they had to flee to Egypt to escape Jesus being killed as an infant. Have you noticed? Not much of what Mary and Joseph did went according to plan. Matter of fact, very little. You may not have the job you planned on having years ago. You may not be in the situation with your family that you had planned on years ago. Your children may not have turned out the way you planned when they were born. You may not live where you planned to live. You may not have lived the way you thought you would live years ago. But may I say this, it seems like sometimes the best things that happen in life are because of how we respond to the change and not the ideals that we set forth. There are people in this room today, had not your plan changed, you wouldn't even be saved on your way to heaven. Had your plans not changed, you wouldn't even be in church right now. There are people in this room, you had no desire to be in church, but somebody came knocking at your door. Somebody invited you to come to Grace Baptist Church. Amen. Maybe you came and your husband didn't. Right, Wally? Oh, he'll never come. He hates preachers. He's kicked them out of the house before. Oh, preacher, don't come and see Fred. Shoot, I've been thrown out of houses and cussed by more people than he's ever even known. And after a period of time, he started coming to church. He still wasn't saved. He almost died 3 times. Still wasn't saved. I looked at him. He was hours from death and said, Fred, if you die right now, you're going to split hell wide open. Get saved. And can't do it yet. But he got saved. And he's here. And God is good. That didn't go as he planned. I know it didn't go as he planned. It didn't go as I planned. I was hoping he'd done it a long time before he did it. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the detours turn out to be the best roads to travel. I don't think we should float through life and have no plan at all. We ought not be like the stick floating down the creek right now, just bouncing off everything that gets in our way. I think we ought to have a plan, but when there's a log jam in the middle of the creek, you got to change plans. But may I say this, we ought not want what we want over what God wants. God knows, because we're all sinners, things are not always going to turn out as we plan or even as he planned. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell, but people die and go to hell every day. It's not God's plan, it's man's plans. God did not create man to sin, but man did sin. God created man to live forever, but man sinned and brought death on himself. You see, it may not work out as we planned, but may I say something? God has prepared for you. Matter of fact, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? prepare. He didn't say plan a place. He said prepare a place. How many of you like something now that you did not like as a child or earlier in life? Raise your hand. All right. That's all of us. Girls, you were taught boys had cooties. At a certain age, you find out they don't. And boys believe that girls had cooties. Usually takes a little longer for it to kick in for the guys, but once they figure it out, they realize it's not quite so bad. Some of you like a food now that you hated as a child. And there are things that you don't like now that you used to like when you were a child. So, may I say this, our tastes and our desires change as we change. We are to be prepared for life, but we are not to be so pre-planned that we get out of what God wants for us. Now, let me help you. Let me give you about four statements, I think, three, and I'll be done. But each statement has many subpoints. Number one, God wants us prepared, but not so planned that we cannot adapt. God wants us prepared, but not so planned we cannot adapt. Did you know I'm pretty adaptable? Now, I like planning. I know what songs we're singing this morning. I know what songs we're singing tonight. I know what songs we're singing Wednesday night. I know what songs are next Sunday morning, Sunday night. I know what songs are next Wednesday night. They're already planned. But my daughter came to me this morning and said, Daddy, song number one, I'm not real comfortable playing that, not sure I can do it. So early this morning, she had no idea what I was preaching. I said, well, let's find one that you can. And we picked a different song. Did you know the first song we sang today wasn't on the original plan? And I wasn't all freaked out. That's all on the plan. You got to do this. No, we pick another song. Now, wait a minute. I could have told her, just push the button. It's pre-programmed in there. Let's do it. But I did not want to do that. It's easier for me to adapt. By the way, I didn't want to lead that other song either. The one we picked was a whole lot easier. I was still going to do it if she was still going to play it. Now, wait a minute. That's what God's will is like. We're to adapt. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It does not say prove what is that good or that acceptable or that perfect will of God. It says and, not or. The will of God is not like shooting targets yesterday, Brother Scott, where either it's a bullseye or just outside or in the kill zone or not even on the target. There are some people that believe either you hit the X or you go to the booger man. Can I tell you something? Life isn't that way. God's will is progressive and it changes as we change. It was God's will that I graduate from Massillon Christian High School in Massillon, Ohio. But that wasn't the end of God's will. I was supposed to go to Bible college. It was God's will that I go to Bible college and find my wife and be trained for the ministry. But it was also God's will that we leave there after we both graduated and go to Long Beach, California for 2 years. Why we had to do a tour duty there, I don't know. Yeah, buddy. I learned the gangsta terms in a hurry, amen? But it was also God's will for us to go through that. But I can tell you this. I talked to a man this week who's going through some problems that I faced while I was there and is able to counsel him as an assistant pastor and get him through it. Now, I don't want to go through that again, but may I say this? I'm glad I went through it so I could help somebody. Amen. But it was also God's will for us to go to Charleston, South Carolina after that. And what I learned there, I've been able to help people with as well. Then it was God's will for us to go back to Northwest Indiana and work there. Then it was God's will for us to come here. Then eventually to start this church. may I say this? God's will has changed, but it's all been God's will.
Amen.
That we may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect, not or. It is not hitting the bullseye and the dead X on the cross on the bullseye. It is being in the will of God. I shoot archery for hunting. I've shot thousands of arrows. You know, I don't worry about, Brother Scott, you know, you don't walk out on a field somewhere and draw a spot on a deer and say, okay, and go back to your stand and say, let me try to hit that spot. It has what they call a kill zone. And the kill zone on a deer is about that big. And depending on angle, it can even be bigger. If that thing's turned away from you, you got to shoot farther back. If he's the shooter and I'm the deer, I've got to shoot behind the kill zone to get the arrow to go in because you shoot for exit, not entry. That arrow's 28, 30 inches long plus. You got to get it through. If it's head on, it's a smaller kill zone. And you've got to know your yardages so that you know how far that arrow is dropping. You've got to be able to understand all of those things. Now, wait a minute. I don't have to hit double lung and heart to kill the deer. You can shoot him in the liver and kill him. He's going to run a little farther, and it's going to take him a little longer to die. I've hit just lung. I've hit lung and heart. I've hit lots of spots. You can actually kill a deer or an elk hitting them in the back end because they have a femoral artery back there and they'll bleed out. I don't suggest it, but you can do it. There are many different ways. As long as you got it, does it really matter? And that's how you have to look at the will of God. It is progressive and it changes as you change. Did you know it was God's will as we were rearing our kids to do certain things, but now I don't necessarily have to do those things? Now, my wife and I still are the same as we were then, but the will of God has changed as the children left the house. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
All right. Now, hang on here. This is where it's going to get fun. God prepares for us because we change our desires as we go through life. I wonder if God really finishes our heavenly home when we first get saved. I think as our desires change, he just kind of waits and says, let me get you where you really like this. We're building a house. And I want my wife to have what she wants. I'm glad the first house we are building is when we're in our 50s, and the only house we're building is when we're in our 50s. Say why? Because I happen to know her desires a little better now than I would have 30 years ago. I know what her needs are. I know what her wants are. And I have the ability to meet those, therefore we will. Soul winning is being prepared, but not a scripted plan. To where you're a robot.
That's right.
Do you know the gospel doesn't change? And even the presentation of the gospel doesn't change a whole lot. But how you get to it changes every door. I've won thousands of people to Christ. Brother Harry, each one of them's different. I got people that are crying. I got people that are cussing. I got people angry. I've got people happy. I've had people showed emotion. I've had people show zero emotion. I've had people, every experience is totally different. But I've been out with soul winners. Hello, my name is, do you go to church? Where do you go? Number one, the Bible says, it was a prescripted plan. And they couldn't vary from it one iota. Well, may I say this? Every child goes through the same birth process, but each child being born is totally different. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Just as a team prepares, every game is different.
Do you know, no matter what game you play, it's different. If you're playing Sorry, it's different every time. If you're playing, what's the one with the four different colors? Uno, that's it. Sorry. Thank God for numbers. But if you're playing Uno, did you know every Uno game is different, though you're prepared for whatever comes? Do you know if you're going to play a doubleheader baseball game, each game is different? Now, you're prepared for the game, but every game is different. I like golf. Did you know you can golf the same golf course 5 days in a row, and that golf course plays different all 5 days? Depending on the weather, depending on pin placement,
depending on heat, the humidity, you name it, it can change, depending on your ability. That golf course, you can play it every day for 5 days, and it changes. You watch a pro tournament, they play four games, one game each day for a match. Do you know some days, some guys will shoot four, five, six below par, and the next day they're two over par, and it was the same course? You're thinking, that's the same course. How could the score change that much? Because nothing stays constant. Now, we need to prepare for marriage. But be careful, don't plan it too much. His feet are going to stink and his breath's going to smell bad. Her hair, when she gets up in the morning, doesn't look like it did when you met her for your first date. You heard the old joke. A couple got married later in life. They were on their honeymoon and they were getting ready, and she took her teeth out and put them in the dish next to the bedstand. She took her wooden leg off and put it in the drawer of the bedstand. Took her fake eyeball out and put it in the cup next to the nightstand, and he stood there and she said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't know whether to get in bed with the nightstand or with you." No. More of you there than's here. Welcome to marriage. Things change, amen? May I say something? When you get married, decide the whom of marriage doesn't change and that you're going to walk through life together no matter what comes. Learn to roll with the punches.
You may lose a child. You may have more than one that you've lost. You may have emergencies come that you don't plan. If you have boys, you're going to have trips to the hospital with stitches. Busted heads, busted lips, busted noses, broken arms, broken collarbones, you name it, they're going to do it. You're going to face disease. That's why in the vows it says in sickness and health. Either you or your spouse will face some long-term disease possibly. Wait till it's your turn and they say it's cancer. Wait till it's your turn and they say he needs open heart surgery and five-way bypass. But go ahead and go home for Thanksgiving. It's all right. Wrong answer. You're going to face financial strain that you didn't plan. I know. This one's going to shock you. You're going to face disagreements. I know that shocked you. Can I tell you something? You can prepare for them, but that doesn't mean you plan them. You've got to be prepared for them, but you don't plan those. Those are not part of the ideals of, oh, I love you, let's get married, everything's going to be great. Two can live on one salary better than one person can. That's a lie from the devil. You know, prepare and be as ready as you can for marriage, but may I say this, it's not all going to go according to plan. You prepare for life, but no one can plan how it's all going to work out. Most of the bitterness, most of the anger, most of the disappointment, most of the depression in life comes because things don't go the way we planned. I could eliminate about 95% of all the psychiatric drugs and medications and trips to the psych ward and everything else when you realize life doesn't go as you plan, but be prepared for what comes. I could solve most of the arguments you have as husband and wife or parents and children if you just realize not everything goes the way you planned. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I'm preaching on an island all by myself. God wants us prepared, but not so planned that we cannot adapt. Number two, don't plan what you're going to feel before you feel it. Listen to me very carefully. Oh, several years ago, about 4 years ago, I preached a whole series of sermons on our emotions. God gave you every emotion you have. You were created in the likeness of God, and God shares every emotion you have. We are not to be emotionless creatures, but we're not to allow our emotions to control right and wrong. Did you know animals have emotions? They can get a bad attitude too. You say, well, mine doesn't. Come see mine. She gets one all the time. She's a chick with an attitude. Expecting to feel what you want to feel can cause you to be disappointed. Let me show you what I mean. And don't raise your hand on this one. If you've done the same vacation more than once, usually the second time or the third time, it's not as exciting as it was the first time because you expected to feel the same thing the next time. And you don't do it. Now, you might like the comfortability of where you are, but planning how you're going to feel when you see this again or see that again, and it doesn't do to you what it did the first time, you get a little disappointed. You cannot plan your feelings in advance. Expecting or planning your feelings for church can cause you great disappointment. I plan my sermons, but I don't plan the emotion of my sermons. How many times have you heard me say, well, I don't think this sermon's going to take me as long to preach tonight, and I don't think I'm going to preach this sermon very hard. And then those are usually the sermons you say, look out, it's coming. Yeah. There are times I'm thinking, man, I'm going to really cut loose, and it didn't come out near as harsh as I thought it was going to come out. I don't pre-plan how I'm going to feel or be the emotion of it. That's the Holy Spirit guiding while I preach. Everybody doing okay? I do not plan my feelings with my family. I prepare so that I'm available for every need they have. I might want to have a party and one of them wants to cry. That's not the time to party. It's time to put the arm around them and say, what can I do to help you? There are days I'm ready to kill everybody and they want to party. And it's time to put the I want to kill everybody aside and party. Whether I feel like it or not. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on there. I prepare to have the emotion ready that everybody needs when they need me to have it. But I also plan not to fall apart when it's not time to fall apart. Let me give you a little insight. You know, I don't plan my feelings for when I do funerals. Now, I plan and prepare for every funeral. If you've ever been to more than one of my funerals, every funeral is different. We just did Brother Stoltz's funeral. But Bob, you had a homeless veteran that all of a sudden I've lost his name. That's it, Billy. I did a funeral. It was Bob and his wife and his son, the funeral director, and a couple military people, and that was it at a graveside. And the emotion and the preparation was the same for that funeral as it was for Brother Stoll's. You were at both of them. You'll know. He'll testify. But Roy, how I prepared for your dear wife's funeral, I don't plan my emotion. I plan to help people, and I let the emotion come as it comes. Say, oh, that's got to be hard. Do you know I prepared for my grandmother's funeral? Good night. I had a sermon file in my files for about 12 or 15 years for her funeral. We've been planning that funeral for a long time. It wasn't what do I say, it's how much do I don't say. People said, oh, doing Brother Stoltz's funeral, that had to be hard. No, Brother Stoltz's life made it very easy. Now, emotionally, no, I hurt like everybody else did. I wept during the funeral a couple times. Just like everybody else did when that Mr. Busman song came on. That was unfair. You know, I don't plan my feelings for the funeral. I prepare for the family and let the feeling come as the Holy Spirit directs. Let me say this. Dreams should never be your plan. Because dreams are not real. God does not speak in dreams and visions. Since we have the entire canon of Scripture, that was done away with. Well, I had a dream. I had a vision. I'm glad you did, but you probably had bad pizza before you went to bed, too. I don't care what you dreamed. I don't care what vision you saw. Whether it was sugar plums dancing in your head. Did you ever eat those things? Those are nasty. But anyway, I don't care what you dream. And if you're not careful, if things don't turn out the way you dreamed, you'll be disappointed. Did you know dreams don't contain reality? They don't contain the pain. They don't contain the oops of life. I gotta hurry. So number one, God wants us prepared, but not so planned that we cannot adapt. Number two, don't plan what you're going to feel before you feel it. Number three, don't plan what to expect. Don't plan what to expect. Prepare for what you can do, but not have in your mind how it has to be when it's over. Amen. I love my daughter. She's 20 years old, going to be 21, senior in college. I can't tell you every twist and turn of her life has been as I planned it. But I'm prepared for it. Can I tell you that 21 years ago, we were ready for everything we had faced? No man is ready for a daughter. I had better sense. I stopped with one daughter, amen? Now, wait a minute. Prepare what you can, but the outcome you cannot plan. Therefore, I won't be disappointed. I don't have this ideal set. Everybody thinks I'm against the toe-headed idiot. I'm not. I think he's a good guy. I like him. I'm probably more for him than anybody really knows. Say, oh, this is going to be hard on you, preacher, isn't it? I'm excited. I want her and Brandon to experience the will of God like my wife and I have had for 29 years. How could I be disappointed in that? How could I be disappointed in Josh and Ruth Ann? I mean, how could you not like Ruth Ann? She has the ability to put Josh back in place. Love it. And we warned her. Do you know what you're getting into? So when he does something, I'll say, hey, you chose it, not us. We warned you. All right? You know, planning what to expect can cause you to be very disappointed. Some of you are disappointed in your kids because you expect something out of them that they are not. It's not going as you planned. How about they have a life to live? You see, planning what to expect can rob you of blessings that you don't allow yourself to have.
Not everybody in church turns out the way I hope they turn out. But I'll take every blessing I get.
Everybody doing okay? All right. Why do you want to put a ceiling on God? Too many of you, your plans put a ceiling on God. I learned a long time ago, don't put a ceiling on God. He has a way of destroying it. Say, what are you talking about? First thing I said when we got married, we will never go to California. I will not go to California. I will not work in California. And 9 months later, we were packing up a truck to leave for Long Beach, California. I learned, never say, never. I'm never going to go to Hawaii. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Kathy liked that one. Now, wait a minute. You know, we need to quit playing God in order to protect ourselves from something we may not want. Our plan sometimes is us protecting ourselves from what could go wrong. But sometimes it can turn out to be the greatest blessing. Dr. Jack Hiles grew up with a drunken father till he was about 7 or 8 years old, and then his dad left his mama. He grew up in a single-parent home. He lived in about 20-some houses over the next 10 years. Grew up in the Depression. Lost 2 sisters to death. When he was a young man, met his dad on the corner of the street in downtown Dallas. He said, "Dad, God called me to preach." His dad was a drunk, took his hand and backhanded him and knocked him right out in the middle of the street, cursed and swore and said, "Son, I'm not going to be the dad of a blankety-blank, blankety-blank preacher." Cussed him up one side, down another, walked away, came back, kicked at him, and said, "But if you're going to be a blankety-blank preacher, then you go build the biggest church in the world." Guess what he did? What turned out to not go as he planned ended up being one of the greatest blessings. Over 2 million people walked the aisle for salvation because he didn't know if his daddy died and went to hell because he fell over dead with a heart attack. His dad heard him come preach one time. Told his son, he said, "I'll get saved in the spring," and he never made it to spring. Millions got saved because of Dr. Jack Hiles. He kept his dad's picture in his wallet, and every Saturday night would look at that, motivate him to preach as hard as he could. Do you know about 8 or 10 years before Brother Hiles died, somebody came to him and said, she was a nurse for his mama when she was dying, and said, "Brother Hiles, I don't know why I never told you this, but when I was watching Grandma Hiles pass, remember how those last hours she saw people in heaven? She talked about her brother and her sister-in-law and her 2 children that she could see. And she'd say, 'Jack, do you see them?' 'No, Mama, I can't see them, but I believe you can.' She said, 'Brother Hiles, after you left the room that day and you went to preach in Charleston, South Carolina,' she said, 'after you left the room, she looked up and she said, 'Athy, is that you?' And she saw your daddy in heaven." All those years he preached, wondering if he was dead in hell. Can I tell you something? What didn't go as he planned, God turned it around into something that may have been the greatest blessing. You know, we need to quit playing God to protect ourselves from being hurt. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't have things turn out the way they planned. They had no plan of being thrown into a fiery furnace. Daniel had no plan of being thrown into a lion's den. It did not go as they planned, but may I say this, they were prepared for what happened. And look what God did.
Next, let me say this. Some of the best and sweetest times of life come when our plans or our dreams go awry. All the preparation you can do does not mean that you see life as it's really going to happen. Part of the fun of life is adapting. Shoot.
I said this to Marcia yesterday. I've adapted so much, just call me Brother Gumby. Right? That was that little clay cartoon dude that could bend and do all kinds of things. That was before some of you were alive. Shut up, Malachi. Ask your dad. He knows what Gumby was. All right. My wife and I didn't choose to move from Indiana to L.A. and from L.A. to South Carolina and South Carolina back to Indiana, Indiana to West Virginia. But God did. We didn't choose some of the battles we've had. But it's okay. I've been able to help an awful lot of people. We didn't choose that when our son was 4.5 months old that he would literally die. And they would keep him alive on life support for 3 weeks. But now he's preaching in Florida today. We didn't plan my daughter to have, when she was about a year old or so, she was at the babysitter's and choked on a piece of popcorn. And for the next 6.5, 7 months straight, she was in one continuous asthma attack, to where we were doing asthma treatments between every 2 hours and every hour, around the clock, 24/7 for months. We finally went to the Children's Hospital, or Baptist Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. They went in with a bronchoscopy and said she's either choked on a piece of food or some kind of toy, and it's blocking off half of her lung. And they said, we're going to try to go back in with the endoscopy, and if we can grab it, we will, but if not, we need you to sign this paper, and we're going to crack her chest open and take it out. Take your pen out of your pocket and sign that. They went in with the bronchoscopy and reached in there and like that. And the moment they got a hold of that thing and pulled it off, the rest of her lung inflated and everything started back upright. The hull on a kernel of popcorn, when she choked, went down her windpipe and blocked off half of her lung for about 7 months. She did not eat popcorn again until she was a teenager.
Wait a minute. It didn't go as we planned. But do you know how many people I've been able to help? You know, when you don't know what to do, when those curveballs come, why don't you go seek help? Quit being so proud. Quit worrying that you don't know what to do and just say, I need a little help to get through this. Realize I don't see everything, but sometimes God gives the preacher the ability to see through your problem, help you adapt. Well, I just don't see it that way, preacher. Well, if you've worked with as many people in the situations that I've had, maybe I'll trust. But I promise you this, that book will never steer you wrong. Never. I don't care how bad your past. Drugs, drunkenness. You don't need a 12-step program. You need two. Get saved and obey God. That's it. Get saved, obey God. Doesn't matter what the addiction. Get saved, obey God. You say, well, I don't have a good past. You don't need a good past. You got a great future if you get saved.
Amen.
But, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. What are you going to do? When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Amen.
Say, well, it's not always been easy. No. You think it's been easy for me? You think it's been easy for my wife? I mean, she's married to me.
That says it all right there. Can I tell you something? God never promised it would be easy. We complicated it with our sin. Are you prepared? Or are you so pre-planned that you won't let God help you? By the way, it's not his fault things change. Neil Rastetler sitting in a hospital right now and things didn't go as he planned. And by the way, I don't think God planned for him to get whacked by a truck and almost be a quadriplegic. But it came. Last part of the text last night from Brother Gelhausen. He said, Brother Bush, your men's prayers are sustaining Brother Neil because what a wonderful spirit he has. Always with a smile. Always praising God. And I said, because he's a spiritual man. He said, yeah, but he can tell people are praying. I said, I believe that. Let me ask you a question. Are you prepared? Or are you so pre-planned that you can't adapt? Let's learn to be prepared. But not so pre-planned that we can't adapt. Now, that's not an excuse not to have a plan. Amen. That's not an excuse to float through life just as the currents come.
That's right.
Well, I'll just take it as it comes. Then you're going to take it harder. You're going to hit more bumps than you should hit.
Amen.
I'm going to avoid as many as I can, but I can't avoid them all. But I'd rather miss a few, amen? In the times my wife has driven me to the hospital with a kidney stone, you don't realize how bad the roads are till you hurt. And I'll say, you missed one back there. I'm trying, I know. Yeah, buddy. You know, yeah. That's when you're having it, not me. Wait a minute. But I do believe that we ought to just prepare. God has prepared for us. He gave us the gospel. Gave us the ability to get saved. Gave us a church to be at. Gave us a plan for our life. Now, it won't always go as we plan it, but there is a plan there. That you may prove it. Is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know it for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I needed today. I needed it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost every hand.